Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Sunday, March 7th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me, doing a special Sunday edition, if you will. Sometimes we do these on occasion. But tonight's podcast is titled Markets Overnight. Of course, it's overnight here in the U.S. It's the day session over in Europe and Asia at the time of this podcast. But there has been some volatility overnight here, and that's why I'm doing this podcast. But the main focus is on commodity prices, because we are witnessing oil at levels we have not seen since 2019 with respect to Brent, and 2018 with respect to WTI. WTI is currently up 2% at $67.41 a barrel. Brent is also up 2% right now at $70.75 a barrel. So again, Brent has not seen these prices since 2019, and WTI has not seen these prices since 2018. And of course, we were in a completely different world in 2019 and in 2018. We were here, at least here in the United States, we were approaching full employment. Now we have, according to the initial jobs report of last week, 18 million Americans still claiming some form of unemployment insurance. And we can imagine that that number is even higher than that, who is actually unemployed or underemployed. So it would make sense to have prices at these levels a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, because you had a lot of people working, a lot of people traveling to get to work. People had money, they could take vacations, they can travel, you need energy, blah, 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 blah. It's easy to make these connections, and it becomes easier to tell a story that justifies those types of prices. But right now, with tens of millions of Americans unemployed, and millions more globally, this becomes a little bit of a head-scratcher, at least from the standpoint of, well, this can't just be justified from organic growth. And it isn't justified from organic growth. Of course, there is organic growth around the planet. This is a large global economy. More people are going to work and doing something productive than otherwise. But that doesn't mean that that is what is causing these price increases. No, what I believe it is inflationary pressures now making its way, which it has been doing for quite some time, and we focus on this all the time here, which is why we do a daily market performance cap, and a whole bunch of other things. It's because it's crucial to understand the domino effects. It's crucial to understand the interconnectedness of various markets. It's crucial to understand those dynamics of when a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats and central bankers get together and pass stuff that they think sounds good, that they think is politically expedient, only to really cause a lot of headache and heartache down the line. That's what we're going to be experiencing. A lot of people are already in that boat. Heartache and headache. All right? So this isn't growth, as far as I'm concerned. This is inflation. We've seen what the inflation, the increase in the money supply, has done to equity prices and to bond prices. A couple recent Capital Economics presentations on thecapitalnews.com and our YouTube channel have shown this correlation between the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, M1 money stock, and the S&P 500 and the Wilshire 5000. Okay? You can see how closely correlated and linked these variables are. They know this. The central bankers know this. They understand this. That's why they continue to expand their money supply. That's why they continue to expand their respective balance sheets. This is all about filling the void. This is all about the narrative of keeping things going. We have numbers, economic numbers, that we have not seen since the Great Financial Crisis, the Great Depression. That's how bad this is. And yet we have a stock market at all-time highs on prices and valuation. It's basically an insult to all of these people who have lost their jobs, who have lost their health insurance, who may be just, you know, waiting in the wings to be evicted from their apartments or from their homes. this is a complete tale of two cities or two economies. Where you have some people making out like bandits, and you have others who are waiting in food lines. Something is not right here, ladies and gentlemen. We can print trillions of dollars, and yet we still have people starving to death in food bank lines, people around the planet who are dying of disease or illness, of which there are vaccines, cures, therapies, medication. Something is greatly wrong with how we are operating as a people, as a society, as a human race. But as long as Tesla's up or Bitcoin's up or the stock market's up, then all is right in the world. This is why trouble lies ahead. Because we have lost sight of what makes us human. And as I've been saying here for the past several weeks, we are no longer a nation of laws. We have become a nation of men. And it's everybody for themselves. It's a free-for-all. And I imagine it's going to get worse before it gets better. So these oil prices are obviously going to have ripple effects. They are going to contribute to price increases. Maybe not necessarily for the end consumer, but for the middleman, for manufacturers, for businesses. And these increased costs are going to eat into their margins. So when you have global equities, pretty much what, as they say, priced to perfection, any little deviation from this perfection is going to cause a problem. Well, you have priced in excellent margins being made. Well, not if this is the case, not if you have a nice increase and it becomes a steady increase and stabilizes at these price levels or goes higher. Well, you're going to start eating into the profit margins of these companies that are priced to perfection. Now, at some point, these businesses, under the pressure of meeting Wall Street expectations, are going to have to say, okay, well, we got to do something to get margins back to where they were before or improve upon them. There's a couple ways you can do that. You can lay people off, fire them, because personnel is obviously one of the highest costs that a corporation has to deal with. So they can lay people off again, and you can understand that downward spiral that that could once again create. Or they can start to pass along those price increases due to freight, due to energy costs, onto the consumer. But now they're going to be, okay, well, what happens if we increase our prices onto the consumer? Well, there might not be as much demand for our products. Our sales might decline. That's the boat in which a lot of companies are in, small, mid, and large. This is not going to end anytime soon because the inflation is not ending anytime soon. In fact, we have the U.S. Senate passing their version of the $1.9 trillion monstrosity. It goes back to the House this week, and in all likelihood, it's going to pass. And it'll either be this week or next week when President Joe Biden signs it into law. So we'll be passing another $1.9 trillion piece of crap. We don't have the money. So we're going to have to print it. And that means we're going to borrow it. And we're not borrowing it from the past. We're borrowing it from the future. So we continue to steal future growth and prosperity for political expediency, to make things look good and better today than they otherwise would be. Even though what is needed is the cleansing, even though what is needed is the correction. And yes, it will be painful. But what we're already going through and have been going through is painful as well. There's no easy way out of this for what we have done. When you amass a $28 trillion national debt, you're going to have some problems. When you run back-to-back multi-trillion dollar deficits, you're going to have a problem. But in doing so, you can make the current environment look a little bit better than what it actually is. Like what we said, just compare what the government's doing to your personal situation. If you make $100,000 a year, but you end up spending $200,000 a year or $300,000 a year, everybody's going to think you're making it. You got nothing but money coming in. You're living this great lifestyle. You're showing yourself, your friends, your family a great time. But you got to pay the piper, don't you? Well, that's exactly what we're doing, but we're doing it as a country. Bringing in $3.5 trillion at the federal government level, and then we're spending $5, $6, $7, $8 trillion. Can you do math? Do you understand math? You understand this isn't going to work? And to add insult to injury, we can't even say that we're making investments in this country with all of the trillions of dollars that we have spent over the past couple of years. There's no jobs training. There's no reskilling. There's no infrastructure investment. This is just print the money, borrow the money, beg for the money, throw it into the system, put thousands of dollars worth of this funny money into people's bank accounts, write them checks, give them debit cards, whatever the case may be, and let them do with it what they want. And we're seeing what people are doing with it. They are treating the stock market like a casino, just like Wall Street has, so everybody's jumping on board that crazy train. People are buying all of the necessities, as we discussed last week with the jobs report. We added the trade deficit as well, at a negative $804 billion, almost a record, only surpassed prior to the great financial crisis at $805 billion, so whipty-woo, it's a rounding error. Because we're buying the necessities, electronics, tablets, notebooks, TVs, computers, all the necessities, everything that is quite needed. And of course, not manufactured here. So it's imported. So all of the funny money that we're doing isn't even going to benefit a lot of U.S. companies in manufacturing. It's going to the benefit of other countries who are producing. So our twin deficit with the trade deficit at negative $804 billion and our fiscal deficit at already, according to the CBO, is projected to be $2.3 trillion this year. And that did not count the $1.9 trillion. And don't forget, folks, when we passed Nobody Cares Act 2.0 last December, that was $900 billion. Didn't have that either. And Congress passed a $1.4 trillion spending bill just to keep the lights on through the first quarter of this year. Well, newsflash for you folks, it's already March. The first quarter of this year is going to come to an end already in a few short weeks. So what is Congress going to do then to keep the lights on? Because as far as I know, this $1.9 trillion monstrosity is not about that. It's about $1,400 checks going out to people. It's about supposedly more relief for COVID-19, more money for vaccines and rollouts and all this other crap. And some of it's even delayed for next year and the year after. So are we going to have to pass another spending bill, another $1.4 trillion, to get us through the second quarter of this year? And then Sleepy Joe wants to talk about infrastructure now? How much is that going to cost? Healthcare, Green New Deal. So you think oil prices are just going to go down? I mean, we're insane. We are insane. All of this money is going to make its way into these markets, and it's all going to be about the necessities. It's going to be about survival. That's why we are in a long-term bull market when it comes to precious metals and commodities, whether that's commercial metals, energy, agricultural products, all of it, because that's what is going to be needed more than ever. Supply chain disruptions, printing press problems, governments out of control. Not going to end well. Not going to end well at all. Revolutions are fought on empty stomachs, and this is just getting started. So you can understand what's going to happen with shipping costs, transportation costs, the hit to margins on small, mid, and large-sized businesses, the eventual pass-through to consumers, which we've already been hearing from some companies. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago when Kraft Heinz and ConAgra announced that that's exactly what they're going to be doing with respect to some of their products. They're going to be passing their commodity price increases on to the end consumer. And it's not just the price that you have to be mindful of, it's also the quantity in which you are receiving. So it might be a good exercise. The next time you go grocery shopping for your standard list of items, that you get a notebook, a piece of paper, what have you, and make a list. How much did these things cost you, and how much volume did you get per item? 12 ounces, 16 ounces, a 24 count, whatever it might be. And then keep note of this maybe once a month to see what's going on with the price and with the volume received. Because they're going to get you both ways if they haven't already. Be prepared for this. Not going to get any easier anytime soon. So, again, WTI $67 a barrel, Brent at $70.70, getting close to $71. Again, have not been there in a couple of years when the economy and the global economy was completely different. This is not growth expectations, this is inflationary expectations. It's already here, and when Wall Street and the markets wake up to all of this, look out. That's all I have to tell you. Natural gas, $2.71, gasoline, $2.10. Gold is at $1,707 an ounce. Silver, $25.64. Copper hanging on to the four handle at $4.04 a pound. Dollar index is at 92.0. 92.0 on the dollar index. Have not been here for a few months. So here it could be the potential for a breakdown in correlation, because one would typically see a strengthening dollar and weakening commodity prices. I've been stating this for the past 2 years since we have been online. The economy is busted, it is broken, and these markets are going to do some crazy things. Historical and traditional correlations will break down. Doesn't mean they will always and forever break down, but there is going to be times when we are going to see those traditional relationships break down. So, what one typically does see, because so many commodities are priced in U.S. dollars, is when the dollar increases, those commodity prices go down because it takes fewer dollars to buy them. Okay, this is how this makes sense. And vice versa. The dollar weakens, you tend to see commodity prices go up. The fact that we are seeing a dollar rise, commodity prices rise, and even some precious metals right now rise could be the start of some of these breakdowns. Now, one day doesn't make a trend, but this is something that we have been noticing, and this is something that may very well continue. And when you have financial models built based off of these traditional correlations, you can see how easily something can break. And those ramifications that could take place behind the scenes with institutional investors, hedge funds, and God only knows how much leverage these institutions may have, you can see how fragile these markets can be. Because these markets and the financial models behind them are only as good as reality. It's only as good as the assumptions that they put into them that can only best mimic reality. Well, if you have reality going haywire, well, then so do the models. The models aren't going to be able to handle it. So that's something to be on the lookout for as we make our way through this year and next, because that could be a big deal. Bitcoin is at $50,600 a coin. Not a lot of movement right now across the major currency pairs. Overnight futures trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is flat. The S&P 500 is down 0.3%. The NASDAQ 100 is down 1%. When I was checking the overnight futures markets earlier this evening, they were pretty much all in the green, so a reversal. The Japanese cash trade was up earlier in the session. It is now down 0.5%. The Australian cash trade was up about 1.5%. It is now only up 0.5%. And Chinese stocks are also in the red, giving back 1.25%. So with that, we also have Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note at 1.58%, which is, of course, interesting because when we saw a week and a half ago the intraday trading of the U.S. 10-year note at 1.6%, you had a massive sell-off in the market. And of course, some central banks panicked. That was their knee-jerk reaction. We saw the Reserve Bank of Australia throw in $4 to $6 billion to control their rising yields with respect to their debt market. We saw the ECB come out and mention, well, we're going to do what it takes to keep yields under control. But not here in the Fed. We tried to remain Joe cool. We tried to be as cool as a cucumber here. They say, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's okay, because that's indicative of growth. That's a bunch of bull. It is not growth. It is inflation. And it is inflationary expectations. Period. End of story. That's what all of this is. This is a joke. It's a joke. If they want to print all the money, ask them the question, why do I have to pay taxes? If you're just going to print it and it makes no difference that we're running $3, $4, $5 trillion a year deficits, then why the hell do we have to pay taxes? They obviously don't matter. It's obviously not some type of constraint to the level of deficit spending in which you are willing to tolerate. So why do I got to pay them? I would just love for that question to be asked. I would love to know the limits. And of course, they would never answer that question. And I don't think many of these journalists have the cojones to ask it. But nonetheless, that's what we're dealing with. So we continue to see this. Again, 1.58 Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note. If this continues, it's not going to be good. Because the system is more fragile now than it was last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. All right? It's more fragile. So it's not going to take that big of a shock to really prick and pop this bubble, which of course has been pricked. That's why they have been flooding the system with liquidity, trying to fill the void. As air escapes one part of the bubble, they're trying to pump more air into the other side of it. That's all we have done in 2020. And it appears it's what we're going to continue to do in 2021. The question is, when is this going to stop? When are they going to stop? And the other big question, of course, is when will the markets call BS that this has to stop, that there are limitations, that to the U.S. government and others, but the U.S. government, as an example, bringing in $3-3.5 trillion in tax revenue, yet running $2-5 trillion a year deficits for the past couple of years, there's limitations on this. There are constraints. You cannot continue to do this. You're going to flood the market with more treasuries. That's how you're going to finance this. Well, that's a supply of treasuries. You're increasing the supply of something. Well, what about the demand? Is the demand going to be there to meet that supply? If the answer is no, then the price of those treasuries is going to collapse, which means yields, which means borrowing costs are going to go sky high. We have $28 trillion in national debt right now. Every little increase to the interest rate, to our borrowing costs, is that much more devastating to the financial health of this country. It's more resources that is produced in this country that now have to go to servicing debt as opposed to investment into growth. This is not rocket science. This is very easy to grasp and understand. You can have compounding interest in time work in your favor, or you can have it work against you. Due to political expediency in this country and many others around the world, political expediency has won out. So the short term wins at the expense of the long term. Well, the long term is here. That day is coming where all of this needs to be paid back. So when you don't see opportunity for younger people, when you see younger people saddled with debt, this is why. It's very easy. It's called economics. It's called math. But what trumps those things is political expediency. No leadership. No responsibility, no accountability. This is what you get. And it makes sense. If you don't have accountability, responsibility, and leadership, you're going to end up in a mess. You're going to have a quagmire. That's what we are facing, and it is on a global scale. The weakest links are cracking. We have been witnessing this for the past few years. It is building momentum, and it is only going to continue to build momentum because there remains a lack of leadership, responsibility, and accountability. Yet the policies that they continue to promote are the same ones that got us into this mess to begin with. That is, by the definition, insane. That is insanity. We had a podcast the other day, Insanity Times a Trillion. And people still do not grasp, and I don't know if we ever will, because I don't know if the human mind can truly comprehend it, what $1 trillion is. Let alone the $3.5 trillion we raise here in taxes in the United States and spend $5, $6, $7, $8 trillion. You know how much money that is? And we have nothing to show for it. Nothing. Again, I make this argument all the time. You can at least say, Alex, calm down, chill out, dude. Don't worry about it. We're spending all this money, but we got so much great stuff because of it. No, we don't. No, we don't. We have infrastructure that continues to crumble. Yes, finally got a grade of a C- after 20-some years, but it's still a C-. This is supposed to be the greatest country on the planet. Mm-mm, not good enough. Our K-12 school system and education system is terrible. Leave no child behind, race to the top? I don't think so. We left a lot of kids behind, racing to the bottom. Not good enough. Taxation, regulation, inflation, the hits just keep on coming. There's nothing good to show for this stuff. And it should be the other way around. But we know where the money's going. We know who gets it first. We know about the tale of two economies. And as right now, there's no end in sight. And I'm sorry, getting back to the other question of importance, obviously, is, you know, when the markets say enough is enough. And when that day comes, and it will, it's game over. It will be game, set, match. Because there's nothing that the government and central banks can do because the market's saying, nope, not good enough. So what that likely is going to mean is interest rates are going to go through the roof, which is where they should be right now to cleanse the economy. Because only those who have nice balance sheets, clean balance sheets, and good business models would be able to have access to capital to maintain their business or to expand upon their business. But nope, that's not what we do here. We flood the system with trillions of dollars to create and sustain zombie corporations, which further saturates future growth and prosperity. And we still have yet to deal with all of that debt being rolled over and when all of that is going to come due. So, that's some of markets overnight. I just really wanted to focus on the commodity picture, and because it's so important, it's energy, it's precious metals, it's agricultural items, it's commercial metals. So, margins get squeezed, consumers pay more, consumers get squeezed. That's inflation. It's too many dollars, if you will, chasing the same amount of goods. So there you have it. We'll see what happens as the overnight session continues and obviously how the day session goes here in the U.S. Obviously, it's all about the narrative. I'm sure the $1.9 trillion monstrosity will be front and center for the crackheads on Wall Street, but that will just simply be par for the course. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.